As I told you Wednesday night, Lord willing, on the 6th of May, that Sunday night, we're going to have a baptismal service down at Charlie's. We're going to have the evening service. We're going to baptize Joanna Holbrook. I told her, I said, that's the best news I could hear. She called and talked to me about it. I said, that's the best news you can hear. That God has revealed the gospel to another sinner. He's brought home another particle. Isn't that the best news you can hear? That particle comes home. Well, that's on May the 6th, that Sunday evening. 6:30. I was going to put that in the bulletin next week. But it's 6:30. I'm sure Charlie and several of them will be there too. And of course, May the 2nd, Cody Gruber will be here on Wednesday night. Okay. Acts 13. We're coming to the conclusion of this message that Paul has been preaching in Antioch of Pisidia. The title of it is Justified from All Things. Could there be better news than that? Not to a guilty man, there can't. You have to be guilty to enjoy the gospel. You have to know something of what it is to be a sinful sinner. Guilty. You know, legal documents bore me to death. You try to read through a legal document, you say, I need a lawyer to read through this. But I tell you what, if in that document is your life, I bet you'll read it carefully, won't you? I bet it'll become very, very interesting. But here we have this word justified, to be cleared of all charges. Now Paul says here in verse 38, look in verse 38 first. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness, real, genuine forgiveness of sins comes through this man. And no other way. No other way. It comes through this man. And Paul says, be it known unto you. You cannot believe what you don't know. Paul said, how can you believe on him of whom you've not heard? If God does not make or reveal Christ to you, to your heart, you'll never know the forgiveness of sins. Because forgiveness of sin comes through this man. If God is pleased to save a person, He will make the gospel known to them through the preaching of the gospel. Just what I'm doing this morning, through preaching. He'll make it known and He'll reveal the truth of the gospel. And what is it that God is pleased to make known to those whom He is pleased to save? His Son. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not a list of commandments. It's a real living person. This man. That through this man, this is what God will make known to everyone whom He saves. That through this man, and what a man, one day He stood in the ship and He commanded the winds and the sea to be still. And they laid down. What a man. They said, never a man spake like this man. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, it's this man, this God-man, that's who this man is. This man is truly, in every way, God Almighty. That's who he is. This man who is the mediator of that new covenant. This man who is the surety. This man whom God raised from the dead. And that's what Paul pointed out here in verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. God raised this man from the dead. And it's through him that there is real, real forgiveness of sins. That's what it teaches us over in Ephesians. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. This is the message. Through this man is salvation. Through this man is forgiveness. And through this man we're justified. It says in verse 7 of Ephesians 1, in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have forgiveness of sins. And my first thought when I read that and I started writing these notes, I thought, does anyone have a real need of forgiveness of sins? Anyone here need that? I do. I need it. Well, we have it. We have it through this man. We have it through this man. God has declared forgiveness of sins through this man whom He sent to be a propitiation for our sins. Look no place else. Look to no one else but to this man. And then it goes a little deeper. Verse 39. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. They sought justification. They sought to be cleared before God by their deeds and by keeping the law. And Paul clears this whole thing up. He says it's by this man. By Him. Now, I read Gill's Body of Divinity on this. I read Hodges. I read J.P. Boyce. I read some more of John Gill's commentaries. And after I finished reading this, I looked at it again. I thought, how simple Paul kept it. Notice how simple Paul keeps this. After doing all that reading, I came back and I looked at this. I thought, how simple. He kept it by Him. He does not go into this long elaboration of what it is and what it isn't. And I enjoyed reading, you know, those men. But Paul says, by Him. He didn't get into when. He got into by Him. Now, that would make for a short message, wouldn't it? Sometimes I think we ought to just tell the truth as it is and just sit down, and it wouldn't last very long. And you take a lot of our stuff out of it. But it's by Him. All that believe are justified from all things. Paul summed up justification. I'm going to give you a few other things here. But Paul summed up justification in two words. By Him. Now, if you want to sum up justification, just say by Him. We're justified by Him. Now, a sinner can understand that. I can understand that. I'm justified. I stand before God, cleared of all charges by Him. Now, that's my interpretation of justification. And that's Paul. That's the Scripture here. This matter of justification is the great mystery of the gospel. How can God be just and justify me? How can God clear me of all charges? Now, you can offend me. You can do something that's wrong against me, and I can forgive you, but I cannot justify you. I cannot clear you from that and make it never happen. I can't wipe it completely away, and it never happened. That's what He does. How can God clear me of all charges? Well, the simple answer is this: by Him. Now, I read that story of the publican and the Pharisee this morning because I think it goes along with this. That publican, it says, went down to his house justified. What did he ask for? Mercy. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sins. But he got more than he asked for. He went down to his house cleared. Clear, stood standing before God with absolutely no charge of guilt or sin or spot or stain on Him. That's the way every one of God's elect, that's the way everyone whom God saves stands before Him, cleared. absolutely clear. In the court of God's justice. Now, there's no jury there that's going to plead bargain. There's no lawyer going to plead bargain. You're either going to stand there absolutely holy, or you're not, and you're going to perish. But he stood there. He said he went down to his house justified. Now, there's five words that describe justification. And we're going to give them to you out of the Scripture here. I'm going to give them to you. Look over in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm interested in this. I'm more interested in it now than I was 20-some years ago. I want to know how I can stand before God Almighty, God who's holy, and stand there absolutely spotless, cleared of all charges. Look in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace, as John Gill called it, grace was the moving cause. Grace is the uninfluenced, unmerited favor of God. There was nothing in me or about me that influenced God to call me, save me, choose me, and justify me. Nothing in me at all. The whole cause of it was found in God Almighty. When God chose us in Christ, before the world began, He justified us in Christ. He justified us in Christ then. When did Christ stand as the Lamb slain? Before the foundation of the world. That's when He stood there. Our being justified has everything to do with our eternal union to the Lord Jesus Christ before the world was. It says in Ephesians 1 that He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. When was that? Before the world was. Is this not a part of the spiritual blessings? Is this not a part of it? Before the world was. It says in Romans 8:30, whom He predestinated. And when did that happen? Before the world was. Whom He predestinated, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. All of it past tense, isn't it? All of it past tense. And notice here, freely. Freely. You look this word up. You know what this means? As it's used here in this Scripture, it means this, without a cause in them. That's what that word means. Freely. Without a cause in them. He justified them without a cause being found in them. The cause is found in Him. In Him. There's nothing about us at all that would cause God to justify me. It's not because I'm of a better character or of anything else. It's all found. It's all of grace, as we read this morning. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, so did you. So did you. You who believe God. Here's secondly. Justified by His blood. Look over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. Justified by His blood. Justified by grace. Justified by His blood. Look in Romans 5, verse 9. Let me read verse 8 with it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified, it says, by His blood. His blood speaks of His suffering. And His death, which were for someone else. It's for a multitude of sinners the Father gave to Him. That's what it's for. He laid down His life, it says, for the sheep. Christ suffered at the hands of justice. He suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Spotless. Cleared. Of all charges. His blood is the blood of atonement required by God. What we have here in being justified by His blood is His obedience all the way from the cradle to the grave. It says He was obedient unto death. That's what it speaks of, His obedience. And by His blood and His righteousness, we are justified, it says, from all things from which we could not be justified by the law given to Moses. That law could never justify anyone. A law doesn't justify. It either declares you're either guilty or you're not guilty. It doesn't do any justifying. God's the only one who can do that. It's God, the Scripture says, it's God that justifies. He's the one who justifies. And then thirdly, we are justified by faith. Look over in Romans chapter 5 here. You're still in Romans. Look in verse 1. In verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. Being justified by faith. Faith, as we know, is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And by faith, we receive Him who justifies. Now, faith as an act of itself does not justify Him. It's the one, it's the object of faith. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by Him. And faith lays hold of Him. Faith looks to Him who justifies us. We drink His blood by faith. We eat His flesh by faith. And we speak only of His righteousness, by which we are justified. We speak only of His. Without faith, it says in the Scriptures, no man can please God. And without faith, no man will be justified. No man. As it says back over here in Acts 13, and by Him all that believe. All that believe. Justification is not for those who never believe. Those who never believe God will never stand justified, cleared of all charges before God. Those who never believe. Those who believe. By Him, all it says, all that believe. One writer said this: faith is not a work performed by us in order to be justified, but a work performed in us, by which we apprehend in glory in our justification. We apprehend, it lays hold of Christ. It pleases God, as we heard this morning. It lays hold of Him who justifies. It is God that justifies. And now fourthly, we are justified by works. Look over in James chapter 2. Over here in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, it says in verse 24. Let me read verse 23 with it. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and he was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The evidence of true saving faith that lays hold of Christ, who justifies, is works. Scripture says without works, faith is dead. It's just like if you look at an apple tree and there's never any fruit on it, that apple tree is dead. It's dead. Without works, he says it's dead. The evidence of it is works. Works of faith and labors of love. Works is the outward evidence, listen, of inward heart faith. It's evidence of an inward work of grace. That's what it is. It's just evidence. It's the fruit of it. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him in sense for righteousness. But when God called Abraham to offer up his son, what did he do? He offered him up, didn't he? He took him up on that hill. He bound him to that altar. He drew that knife back, and he was going to kill him. He was going to kill him.
It was proven that he believed God. It was proven. A man's faith is known by his works.
James contends for a living faith attended, by living works. You know, it's easy to say one thing, but it's a whole other thing to do it, isn't it? It's a whole other ballgame to do it. And then fifthly, you're justified by your words. Look over Matthew 12, 37. Matthew 12, 37. Let me read verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. You know, there's a lot of idle words said every day, isn't there? You realize how much idle talk goes on today? I'd say about 99% of it is idle talk. Just, and God, this is how strict judgment is. This is how all-knowing God is. He said, every idle word spoken will be brought into judgment. And then he says in verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. A man who is born of God agrees with God. Now he agrees with God. He agrees with God's judgments. And he receives the righteousness of Christ as his only righteousness. But by his words, he says, you shall be justified. Look what David says over here in Psalm 51. I think this is a good example of what he's talking about here. In Psalm 51, verse 4, David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. And be clear when thou judgest. Whatever he does to me, he's right. Is right. God is right. He's right. You know, there'll be many that say, stand in the judgment and say, we preached in thy name. We cast out devils in thy name. Why didn't they say, Lord, didn't you die for me? Was your blood shed for me? You're the only hope I've got. No, they said, we did many mighty works, showing that they believed they could stand before God by what they did on this earth. But the believer now agrees with God. He agrees with God's judgment. He agrees with God's salvation. He agrees with everything that has to do with salvation in Christ. He agrees with God. By his words, thou shalt be justified. Here's what I'm saying in this. Just to put it simply. Your words will confess all the above. You'll confess all the above. By your words. Now, in all of justification, listen, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three of them, are involved in justifying a sinner. All three of them. It says in the Scripture, it is God that justifieth. It's God the Father who justifies us. Paul says here in verse 2, by Him, by His righteousness, by His person, by Him as judge. He's the judge of the quick and the dead. This is the one who will say, you're just. This is one who clears. It says in Isaiah 53, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. We're justified by the Father. We're justified by the Son. And we are justified by the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11.
Now Paul tells them, he says, talks about, let me read in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, listen, and by the Spirit of our God. By the Holy Spirit. He's the one who convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's the one who takes the things of Christ and reveals them to us. That's what the Lord said. He said that He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. He's the one who gives the new birth. It is by Him, by His powerful operation, that we are born again. It is by Him that we believe God. It is by Him that we have that faith by which we're justified. It is by Him that we understand the gospel. And it is by Him that that new creation is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's by Him. So we're justified by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. You leave out one of those and you miss the gospel. You leave them out. You leave it out and you miss it. If any of these things are missing or rejected, you're not justified. You take that away. You take away the blood. You take away faith. You take away the new birth. You take away the operation of the Spirit. You take away your word. You take any of those away, and you're not justified. And that's what Paul says here back in this chapter 13. He says in verse 40, now beware. Beware, therefore. You know he's speaking to some Jews there who kept the law. They thought they kept the law. That's what they looked to be justified by. And he says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. This has been prophesied of. Behold, you despisers, you despise the gospel, and wonder, and you perish, for I work a work in your days. Well, he did too, didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ worked a work in their days. A work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man preach it to you. I said, beware of that. Beware of that. You don't want to come under that prophecy. Beware of that. And when those Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles. I like it when Jason read that, the Gentiles. They said, would you come and tell us this again? Would you tell us this gospel again? Would you tell us this good news again? Will you tell us one more time how God could be just and justify me? Would you tell us that again? And they came and said, in the next Sabbath day, in verse 44, came almost the whole city together. I mentioned that to Vicki, you on driving down here this morning. I said, wouldn't it be something if almost the whole town of Ashland came together this morning to hear the gospel? I said, can you imagine that? And Paul preached the gospel to them again. And it made the Jews mad. It made those religious people mad. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. How God can be just and clear you Gentiles. And you Jews, by the same way. It's the same, by the same person. How God can do that made them mad. It made them mad that sinners were let in the house. It's like, some people don't like dogs in their house. And they said, don't let that dog in the house. They belong outside. Any of you are like that? Well, I thank God He let this dog in the house. He let this dog in the house. And it made the Jews mad, the religious people. It didn't make them all mad. Some of them understood the gospel. But it made them mad. And they stirred up those devout people Well, it says those devout women. They stirred them up. They didn't get a bunch of common people together. They went and got somebody who had some influence. That's what they did. Went and got the Lions Club after them. And they ran them out of town. But before that happened, look in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Sinners are glad when they hear the gospel. Sinners are glad when they hear how God can be just and justify the ungodly. They're glad. It's not a boring service. It's not something that upsets them. They're glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord, the gospel. They glorified the word they heard. How do they glorify it? How do you glorify the gospel? Believing it. Just believe it. They glorified the word of the Lord. They believed it. And as many as were ordained to eternal life. Now, when did that happen? Before the world was. God took care of this whole matter of salvation. From the ones whom He chose, He called, He justified, He glorified. It's all. Before God created the first thing, this thing was settled. God could not and would not forgive me or you if He could not justify us. If I do not stand before Him clear of all charges, He couldn't forgive me. Like I said, I can forgive you, but I can't justify you. God can forgive you because He justified you. He cleared you of all charges. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed God. That's what they did. They believed, just like you read this morning in Hebrews. They believed God. And we believe the same God. Same one. By Him. Now, the simple, just to simplify it. If I can even use that kind of terminology. When you want to think about being justified or what this matter is, just think of by Him. By Him. Like that one sinner said, I don't know. Once I do know this. One time I was blind, but now I see. I may not be able to explain all there is to explain about justification, but I know this. I'm justified by Him from all things. All right.